morning, honorable members. Honorable members, officials from the department, and of course a special welcome from the legal advice office of the Gauteng legislature, which I think it's a very good thing that Gauteng has resolved now to ensure that whenever we deal with Section 76 bill, they will dispatch a special, their legal advisor, not a special legal advisor, their legal advisor to be part of the process. And I think, no. I don't think it's a matter of not trusting their permanent delegate, but in actual fact, it will assist also the committee that might be coming out. Members, last week we were supposed to have dealt with, in actual fact, before the committee, we had the deliberation and formal briefing on the legal succession, bill, but I'm informed that the meeting could not conclude the bill because there were some concerns that were raised by members, and a commitment was then made by the department that today you would respond to them. So maybe as a way of proceeding with the meeting, I would therefore give over to the department to then respond or further clarify certain questions that were asked during the briefing last week, so that we proceed then with the briefing. Are you ready?
Thank you, Chairman.
Okay.
Just to recap, I think the critical element was raised by the Honourable Reverend in terms of why do we really want to do this? And that was the first issue. And we had a discussion in terms of Transnet's strategic approach in terms of focusing on core business being freight and so on. And the other issue that was raised was the issue of the public interest in terms of, by the deletion of Section 15, would the public interest still be served? And I think we sufficiently covered that in the deliberations last week. I think, however, there was another issue that was raised by the chairperson on the day, was the issue of what guarantee can we give in the transfer of these services over to the Department of Transport and to the SAFCC in particular, that the issue of travel will still remain affordable for the masses. And I think the issue there is that we cannot give that guarantee. However, let me just start off by the issue of why this transaction needs to go through and why we need to amend the Legal Succession Act as a result thereof. Chairperson, we explained that in terms of the Transnet turnaround strategy, and an official of Transnet was present last week, gave some detail in terms of the core function of Transnet and their role in the economy. Moving from a diversified company to a focused company in terms of freight would then ensure that there's efficiencies in the freight system, and then leave the non-core land-based passenger transport to those that would focus on land-based passenger transport as a core business, and thus getting the efficiencies that it would then deserve. So in that sense, the chairperson is the reason why this bill now comes to the select committee, in the sense that at this point in time, the Legal Succession Act does not allow the Minister of Transport and the SRTC to operate passenger rail services. So for this transaction to be effective and to ensure that the services do not die, because at this point in time, Transnet will view the service as a discontinued business and then not provide any support or necessary financing to uphold the business. And as a result thereof, we would lose those services. And so that's the reason why the amendment is necessary. I think the issue in terms of whether the public interest in terms of the deletion of Section 15 is necessary. As a result of the function moving to the SARCC and the Federal Commuter Corporation, Section 15 then becomes obsolete, because there will be no relationship between the state and the company being Transnet to provide the passenger rail services, the passenger services. And as a result thereof, the issue of public interest, whether it would still be in the public interest to provide those services, that is the relationship then between the state and the SARCC. And that has then been taken up in the bill in Section 23, where the issue of the public interest is clearly stated in Section 23. And that would be clause 5 of the bill, where it reads, the main object and maiden business of the corporation are to A, ensure that at the request of the Department of Transport, rail commuter services are provided within, to and from the Republic in the public interest. So we believe that it's sufficiently covered in that section. I think one of the other issues that has been raised is the issue of the role of provinces and municipalities in the provision of rail services. At this point in time, the function is a national function. However, in the planning of the rail function, we as the Department of Transport have taken a position, and which we've acted on, is that rail planning should be based on being regionally driven. So the rail plan that we have in place at this point in time, and which the South African Rail Commuter Corporation is implementing, has been developed through structures which we call regional steering committees, made up of, or in the case of metro rail services, made up of the metros, the provinces, the SARCC, and ourselves, which means that we have a position as it relates to rail planning to be bottom up. The other aspect then, in terms of ensuring that the issue of the provinces getting involved in the rail planning aspect is based very much on a relationship being created between the Rail Commuter Corporation, who provides the services and who owns the assets, with the planning parts of the provinces. So we do have, in some provinces, a situation where there's a close cooperation between the two. For instance, the Eastern Cape, the previous MEC of the Eastern Cape, has introduced, has developed, with the assistance of the Rail Commuter Corporation, a rail plan for the provinces. Other provinces are focusing very much on commuter services at this point in time. However, as when the social laws are made or long distance services come on board, then you would have a situation where they will then be involved as provinces as part of the planning team. Chair, those were the critical issues raised last week, and as a result thereof, we propose those as our responses. Just one issue that I think it was Honourable Member Van Rooyen raised was the issue of the role of the PSMA with regard to this corporation, saying that it has so much power. How will we be able to control this corporation from having it has borrowing powers, lending powers, has powers to give donations and so on and so forth, and also set up companies in the interest of the business. This is a Schedule 3 company, which is is funded from the fiscus. So at this point in time, the revenue generated from by the SARCC in terms of fares is not sufficient to cover the entire operation. And so there is a subsidy from the state that covers the difference, the deficit, and it's in the form of a deficit subsidy. In that way, fares are kept low. So as the deficit grows, means the subsidy grows as well in terms of provision to the user. So from a PFMA perspective, as much as they have all the borrowing powers and so on, they cannot borrow without the full knowledge, but also the approval of the National Treasury. So that will then serve as a check and balance in terms of how they borrow. And in any event, borrowing would then have to be covered by guarantees from the National Treasury if they go that route. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, now, thank you very much. Are there any specific issues maybe that members would want to raise in relation to the responses that have been provided? Honourable Mzizi and Honourable others.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, no, the latter issue, on the borrowing issue, will that be contained in the Act itself or probably be contained in the regulation? Because I would find it difficult that if it seems as if now the National Treasurer would be the one need to be approached before any transaction takes place. Otherwise, it would have been just as well as that probably applied through the National Treasury to do the transaction. How is this borrowing issue going to actually be tabled down? Is it in the regulations or in the bill itself?
Adam?
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I'm still worried about it. The answer is not clear yet whether how will the public benefit from this from this piece of legislation, because still there's no guarantee that the benefits of the rail passengers or rail transport will benefit the public in terms of cost wise, and that the question that we've posted was that for argument's sake, Chair, people want to use the train to get to Kimberley, the R or Gauteng. Now, taking this away, fine, or I'll privatize it, it's fine, but what guarantee have we got that the public won't get a disservice in terms of financial, in terms of price fares increase, price hikes, in terms of fares and all that? That is my main worry, because the legislation that we passed in this parliament should benefit the ordinary man in the street. So I'm worried that this piece of legislation will not benefit the man in the street. Because the company tomorrow can decide to put a 40% price hike in fare or 30% or what else.
You mentioned privatization. Because, I mean, not that's the benefit of issues as raised last week, because I was not present. Are you suggesting that there's a, during the presentation, an insinuation was then made to the extent that there is a means of privatizing the railway service and so on? That's for purposes of my class.
No, it was not mentioned as such. But it borders on. It borders on. Because a couple of years ago in Britain was the same system. And the British people didn't benefit from that system. The same happened in Kenya. And the Kenyans didn't benefit from the system. Because when we were in Kenya with the Select Committee of Public Services, at the hotel where we stayed, we met some representatives from the Kenyan Railways that has explained to us the system of what transport is doing now and what transport is doing now. So I'm worried about this thing, Chair. That tomorrow, because this is a private company, Mr. Dhawan, if I'm correct to you, Chair, that will be run privately, away from Transnet, away from government, that type of thing. So, but I'm worried about how will it benefit the ordinary man in the street. That's my worry.
Well, maybe Mr. Kavala will explain once you say. Hence, I wanted clarity on this issue of privatization. Because obviously, if you say your concern is about the beneficiation, especially by the poor, who rely on public transport in the main, and question whether if they would benefit. The private sector has the only one interest, which is to make profit and to maximize profit, and not to service our people. And if then that's what, therefore that becomes the case, it would create serious problems then with us. But let me have the benefit of the response so that I also have my better understanding of what exactly what is happening.
Thank you, Chief. Thank you, Chair. Chair, the issue on the borrowing powers. At this point in time, the corporation or rail, South African Rail Commuter Corporation has borrowing powers. And in the amendment then remains, which is moved to another section, they also have the borrowing powers. Now, because it's a state-owned entity, and government is 100% shareholder, they cannot go to the market on their own, because on the strength of the balance sheet may not necessarily be able to attract people to want to lend money. So in those instances, to make sure that the rail services are improved, as you all know, improvement in rail service and infrastructure is quite a costly business. They will have to have some sort of guarantee from the state. And being a Schedule 3 company, which is reliant on the state or the fiscus for funding, the state has to play a critical role to provide checks and balances. You don't want a company to go out to raise funds and then not be able to repay that. It doesn't just necessarily have an impact on the company itself or the company's rating, but being a state-owned thing, it ends up impacting on the country's rating, the credit rating, and so on. So it is in the Act and not in the regulation. But that then also needs to be tied up with the PSMA in terms of how we manage the financial issues. So they have to then report in terms of PSMA requirements and regulations. Chair, just before I come to the issue of Honourable Member Adam's question directly, is the issue of privatisation. I don't think that this is an issue of privatisation. This is a 100% state-owned entity. It's currently a 100% state-owned entity. All that's happening is Transnet is a state-owned entity which is a Schedule 2 in terms of PFMA, and it doesn't rely on the fiscus for any funding. But passenger services, rail services currently is also 100% state-owned. And there's no intention at this point in time to consider privatization. So the British system, I'm not sure too much on the Kenyan system. I know at one point in time on the freight side, Spurnet were involved in Kenya. But on the British system, they separated the assets from the operations and created a company called British Rail Track to manage the assets. And then operations were put out to other people, sort of your Richard Bransons and so on. So we're not going that route. We want to stay within the state. I don't think we're at the point where we can do that, because from a cost perspective, from a cost perspective, our passengers cannot afford to pay somebody. Like you said, the incentive for private people is profit, and as soon as they come in, the first issue to generate profit is to increase sales, because that's generally the main source of revenue. So that's not our intention. The issue then, in terms of how we will then guarantee or ensure that the benefit for the man in the street is tantamount. I think if it's left within Transnet, they have already declared it a discontinued entity. In doing so, they basically leave it, they just keep it running at the minimum level of providing a very minimal service. So if you leave it there, that will eventually lead to a deterioration in the service, because it's not their core function and they don't want to concentrate on that. They want to become experts and get the efficiencies from operating in integrated freight logistics scenario or setup. And so the focus will not necessarily be on passenger. But moving this to the SARCC, where the core function is passenger rail, it will then focus all its efforts and all its expertise on passenger rail. Now, the issue of price hikes would probably be inevitable. But the guarantees we are getting from the National Treasury of the MTEF is that they have provided funding to cover the shortfall, any shortfall, because passenger rail in itself will not be able to pay for itself from fare revenues on its own. And so they have covered the shortfall in the MTEF in the region of 500 million in the current financial year, 450 million next year, and 400 in the following year. However, also coming from the Transnet side is the refurbishing the locomotives that will be transferred to the tune of 200 million, which means basically overhauling them and making sure that they're in a good state. But I think also another issue that they're addressing, so that when we take over the entity, we're not taking over something that's totally in ruins. They're also converting a certain portion of coaches, which are sleeper coaches and are not used all the time, to sitter coaches, so that they can maximize the number of passengers over shorter distances, your 4 and 5 hour journeys as opposed to your overnight journeys. So those are all the initiatives in place. But from a strategic perspective, because a lot of laborers use the Shosholoza Mail, particularly in the Easter and Christmas peak, there is no incentive to raise the prices. And so you have other services which then come in at higher levels, which are for your middle income groups, like your premier class, which would then, to a certain extent, subsidize the rest. So the premium class, the more your luxury type services, probably on par, slightly lower than the blue train type service. So from that perspective, we have no intention of making sure it's unaffordable. The reason we would like it to be under Transport, because it's a social service and it cannot pay for itself. Whereas Transport is, its focus is on freight and generating a profit for itself, and then it will not then concentrate its efforts on passengers. Thank you, Chief.
No, thank you very much, because I was really getting worried. If you take into account the first informal briefing we received, I mean, I had a totally different understanding. And now when I had issues of privatization, and I thought, no, maybe I've messed up something then last week in relation to what this exactly has to. The only area that I didn't hear you, or maybe you dealt with it last week, I don't want to take the meeting back, was the, I can't remember how you phrased it, or what do you call it, these city-to-city passes and what, how they're going to be incorporated. That's a phrase you used, and there was a particular intention you seek to deal with. Did you manage to finalize it?
Not entirely.
And maybe just before you come back, the what I picked up is the your definitions. What you seek to do as well. I don't mind. The question of the monorail. That's a way of interesting. Are we bringing back now and legalizing the monorail? And over and above that, how do we seek to also as we bring in under our definition the question of the monorail, the element of control, or are we going to see monorails coming up all over the country, every city now developing its own monorails because it once became very fashionable.
Thanks, Jim. Let me start with the easy one first, the bus. Okay. Part of the Transnet stable is a road-based passenger transport, which is performed by Autopax. And Autopax comprises of two types of services. Your Translux services, which is comparable to the Greyhounds and so on. And then there's a city-to-city, which doesn't operate luxury buses, but operates semi-luxury buses. And they then form a network of providing long-distance bus services. Now, the intention of taking over the Autopax is also to park it within the Rail Commuter Corporation. But that will not be the core function of the Rail Commuter Corporation. They will continue with the long distance, but we want to use it as a lever to start addressing a few issues. The first issue that we'd like it to address is provide expertise to cities going out onto the network approach. So they can provide expertise where cities cannot procure services, they can provide that necessary operational expertise from a bus perspective. And that's very, very minor. That's a minor issue that we'll deal with. But also, to implement the rural transport strategy, because we find that the markets, like you correctly mentioned earlier, if you leave it to the markets to provide services, you will not provide in deep rural areas because the revenue generated will not be sufficient. And then if we have the lever within our midst, we can then deploy it into those deep rural areas. So our intention is to expand the subsidy, the public transport subsidy, because at this point in time, the design of public transport subsidies is very much on rail, and metro rail services, and certain bus routes, and not all bus routes. Now we know that lots of the rural areas have been excluded from this, so that's why we have the situation of such high level of poverty in many of the deep rural areas, because there's no access in and out, and no access to markets and so on. So that will be the role that Autopax would play. And it will also provide a support function to Sosholoza, because you have situations where at small stations people get off and there's no transport onwards from the train. So there's no connection from the train to the land side. And so they will need to strategize and structure it so that it serves that purpose. But you also have a situation where, for instance, in Cape Town today, the line between Simonstown and Middenburg is closed because of flooding and so on. And in those instances, the corporation now has the contract buses in from the Golden Arrows in Cape Town and Patco's and so on in Gauteng. So they would then be able to respond to those things timeously on their own and not reliant on other operators. So generally that would be the role it will play, but it will also maintain its long distance that it currently does. Then chair, the issue of monorail. And the intention of the bill is not to deal with monorail at this point in time. But the issue of monorail, just to put some light, particularly the issue that was put on the table in Gauteng on the monorail, I think what came to light at that point in time was that the monorail that was designed at that point in time was being duplicated by what the city of Joburg was doing in terms of the BRT system. But also it was also parallel, or a certain part of it was parallel to the services from Soweto to CBD to Park Station. And the decision was taken that the function of rail is at this point in time and has not yet been devolved. Is the function of the national minister. And so after discussion, it was decided that in terms of rail being, you know, being an act mover, but also heavy investment, that if provinces have a proposal to want to get involved in rail, they will need to work through the National Department of Transport and through the SARPC. And get it cleared up there with proper feasibility studies and so on. And the case in point to illustrate that is the Moroto Road Corridor, the rail corridor, which in excess of 40,000 people move on a daily basis along the Moroto Corridor, which is Mpumalanga to Pretoria, in various points in Pretoria. So the Mpumalanga government approached the National Department and the SARPC to conduct a feasibility study on that corridor. And so we have a situation where you have in excess of 500 buses in one direction, bringing in excess of 40,000 people into Pretoria in the morning and taking them back in the evening. And so it is a proper feasibility study, a technical feasibility study, look at the various options, the cost benefit, and then the minister and the MEC would then decide is it feasible or not. And so that would be the approach for any rail intervention that the cities or provinces would like to make. Is to start from the top and then we can do the rest. Thank you, Chair.
Now, so long as it won't be open to any misinterpretation and then we start seeing other things that popping up, which were not in the main what the Act intended to do. Which brings me to the last issue. The AutoPack. The intention, I like the intention, but I don't know to what extent is it part of the integrated public transport system. If you look at the NLCTA Bill Act, which seeks to bring some stability, to regularize the taxi industry, and put it in a state where the state will also be able to play a role in the form of extension of subsidies to taxi operators and so forth. The question of safety standards, blah, blah. Now, if you bring in this element of AutoPack, is it just going to be a complement? Is it going to complement what the taxi industry is going to do? Or is it going to phase out some areas where you find there's a clear network between the railway stations or drop-off points with the taxi operators and so forth, so that we don't have a situation where now in the country we are going one for one, where on the one hand we are bringing stability, we are putting regulations, we are improving the system. On the other hand, we are creating a situation also for conflict, because now AutoPack will be coming in. Yeah, these taxi operators who have also qualified in terms of all the processes that are required, the same operate at the same station. Now they start clashing also now with the bus drivers, and we know how that industry is quite fragile. So I just hope that it won't just be a blanket an open blanket, you know, a situation without considering the present infrastructure that is already in place in the form of your organized taxi operators and so forth, who are already doing business in those particular areas. I don't know if you would want to have a take on that.
Thank you, Chair. I think it's a valid concern, really. And I don't think the intention is to create any conflict, but also to supplement or complement services where there are no services. But also, Autotax, even if it's part of the state, would be subject to the NLT, National Land Transport Transition. And so they have to apply for permits like anybody else to taxi operate and so on. And in that process, there is a process of objecting if a route is overtraded. And so if a taxi operator is already on a route, he can object to any application for that service. But I don't think it's the intention. Just to add, from a department's perspective, we're looking quite seriously at enhancing the taxi operators and for them to, you mentioned the integrated public transport system, but in the city, they currently transport more than 60% of people, and we're saying their share of the integrated public transport system should be reflected by the market share now.
Thank you very much, Mr. Pillay. Honourable members, are there any other issues maybe you want to raise? I'm sorry to have engaged in. I hope that I did not deny anybody the right to. Okay. Yes?
This shifting, how does it affect things for you? At what percentage? And what precautions have you made? You know, I hear it here saying, I mean, in Section 10 of the Act, to protect the interest of employees whom will be affected by transfer to either remain being members of some med or choose a medical aid of their own choice. You know, obviously, the employees on the ground will be affected. Can you indicate to us at what extent will they be affected?
Or maybe there's a way to ask the question if there are going to be any unemployment or laying off of workers. Workers losing their benefits and all those sorts of things.
Thank you, Chief. The issue of transfer of employees will be dealt with in terms of the Labour Relations Act, Section 197. So this will be as a going concern, which means that as a going concern, they will retain all existing benefits moving over. And also the pension, they have an option of staying on the current pension that they're on or deciding to move into whatever the corporation has to offer. So that has been created as a result of the first phase of the consolidation when we did the transfer of Metro Rail to the corporation. And so those have been sorted out. There will be no loss of jobs. Everybody who has been, who are with Social Laws are male, would then be transferred over to SARCC. But also, there's also a harmonization period within which all these things will remain constant and negotiations between the union and the employer takes place if they want any changes. So harmonization means that everything would go across with the same benefits and rights that they currently have. So the issue of the medical aid in terms of Section 10 that was here was just to ensure that they have that choice. If they want to stay with that medical scheme, the transmit, then they do have that choice. And then all opens it up so that transmit can accept employees of another employer. So I think currently it was only transmit employees. So the same would apply on the pensions as well. They would be guaranteed those benefits going forward in the pension funds that are part of pension funds. And they have an option to either stay on or ring fence the benefits now and then move on to a new one if they want to. So that has been sort of as part of and been dealt with as part of the first round, the Metro Rail transfer. But also in dealing with these issues, there is a restructuring committee at Transnet that comprises of employee organisations and unions and Transnet in order to sort these issues out.
No, Ralph, Mr. Pillay is on record. Mr. Pillay is on record to say that no worker is going to be laid off. There's going to be constructive engagements with the unions only at the level of the harmonization in terms of benefits and all the sorts of things. So 2 years down the line, we hope that the record will reflect and shall prevail, that we will not be told that so many workers are supposed to be laid off as a result of the changes and this transformation that is taking place at that level. So I just thought that we must put it on record that Mr. Pillay is on record in saying that no worker is going to be laid off as a result of this restructuring. Now, thank you very much, and honorable members. If then we are satisfied, then I would read the motion of desirability and the report. You have something before that, all this.
You know, we keep on learning on the vocab as well. The chairperson here, on page 19, where he speaks of this corporation, what is a natural person? This is another thing that comes in. And vis-a-vis to a juristic person. I understand what a juristic person is, but what is a natural person?
I thought that the fact that you would understand what a juristic person is, obviously would understand what a natural person is. But maybe Bob wants to hear it from Mr. Pillay. Who is a natural person? Are we artificial? Okay, well. Thanks, Chairperson, and the honorable members. This is just a terminology used to distinguish issues in legal terms. Natural persons refers to human beings, and juristic refers to companies and disclosed corporations or partnerships or other formations. That's it. Natural, man. Well, natural. SARCC. You are SARCC. Yeah, it's juristic.
Yeah.
But when? Natural.
Yeah.
Now, what I can understand with this debate of the genetically modified products. The food we eat that are genetically modified. Ramzi is no more sure whether he is also genetically modified, which takes away the national aspect. Okay, that was just an election. Okay, honorable members, then the motion of desirability on the legal succession to the South African Transport Services Amendment Bill, B43. B, 2008, reads as follows. That in the opinion of the committee, legislation is desirable to amend the legal succession to the South African Transport Services Act of 1989 so as to delete and substitute certain definitions to rename the South African Rail Commuter Corporation Limited to the Passenger Rail Agency of South Africa, to regulate the objects and powers of the agency, to make provision for the transfer of long-haul passenger rail services and long-distance bus services from the company to the agency, and to effect certain technical amendments and to provide for matters connected therewith. and that the bail referred to the committee be taken as a basis. Is there any mover for the acceptance of the motion? Reverend, is there any second? Then the report reads as follows. Report of the Select Committee on Public Service, which reads as the report of the Select Committee on Public Services on the legal succession to the South African Transport Services Amendment Bill V43B of 2008, as referred to the National Assembly as Section 75, dated 2nd September 2008. The Select Committee on Public Services then considered the subject of the legal succession to the South African Transport Services Amendment Bill B43B of 2008, as referred to the National Assembly as Section 5, referred to it reports that it has agreed to the bill. Is there any mover for the adoption of the report? Comrade Zulani, and then supported by Comrade Zizi. I'm just from a conference. Still in a conference mood. Alright, the report is therefore accepted. Therefore, thank you very much, Mr. Chidey, delegation, and of course the parliamentary liaison officer, and everybody, of course, who had a great interest in this particular bill. I hope that having adopted this report, we are not going to be flooded with the actions, the taxi association, which you say you have consulted with in the process of drafting the piece. Okay, now thank you very much to everybody. Can we therefore then get the second item? The second item is only at 2 o'clock. The National Railway Safety Regulator Amendment Bill. I don't know if is there someone else who's going to make a presentation on behalf of the department? What's going to happen?
Chairperson, it's going to be a totally different team.
No, thank you very much,
Thanks for 2 o'clock.
You don't know.